Driving season is in full swing, and an unexpected car repair can cost hundreds, even thousands to fix, ruining your road trip. That's why I recommend getting extended coverage from CarShield. A new water pump could set you back over $500. Replacing your AC can cost as much as $1,500. With CarShield, the dealership or your favorite mechanic can do the work. CarShield does the rest, getting them paid directly. Save yourself from high repair bills with CarShield. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention code Benson, or visit CarShield.com. Use code Benson to save 10%. CarShield.com, a deductible may apply.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Supreme Court will not only take up the travel ban cases in the fall term, but in the meantime, they're allowing a good portion of the ban to be reinstated.
Royal Oaks, legal expert. What a name, right? Royal Oaks. How you doing? I'm Royal Oaks, your legal expert. When in doubt and you need legal advice, call Royal Oaks. So the travel ban or pause, because it's pause now again. Earlier it was travel ban, but now Trump's like, it's pause. But you said it was a ban. Ah, don't listen to what I say all the time. You guys take everything too literal. So it's now not being heard at this moment by the Supreme Court, but will be heard in the fall time by the Supreme Court, which means that's when it's finally going to be said and done. It's going to take a while. But while all this was going on, the Supreme Court says, oh, by the way, we're going to let you use some of that there travel ban, some of that there travel-y ban. We're going to let you put that into effect until we hear it. You said no? No way, Chad. What could be in effect? Ladies and gentlemen, Pete Williams is here from NBC News to describe what is in effect.
If you don't know somebody, have a relative, someone that wants you to come to the U.S., or you're here to get a job, or you're here to study in a university, if you're not in one of those categories, then the government will enforce the ban.
The government will enforce the ban if you got no reason. This is where we're going to keep it simple, stupid for all of you out there, because it's just much easier, and all the other stuff inside the weeds is silly, and I don't want to know about it either. If you don't have a relative here, if you don't have a reason to be here, school, employment, then you ain't coming here. Boom. Drop the microphone. There you go. Simple as that. If you don't have a reason, your mother, your father, your sister, your wife, your kids, I got a job, we got a family business, I'm coming to work there, I got into college, whatever it is, if you don't have a reason, then your ass isn't coming here. It's as simple as that. The rest of it will be looked at in October. Some people are claiming it is a victory on the left. Look at this. It's a victory for us because we still were able to uphold a good portion of it, even though we didn't know this was going to happen. People on the right in the White House saying, look, it's a victory for us because they're allowing us to put in effect some of the stuff we wanted to do that will help. And it's going to give us an opportunity along the way to vet these people and to come up with a system that we feel is going to be the best system to stop the bad people from trying to use our system to come here to set up shop and to do us harm. Pretty simplistic when you think about it. But here's something our good friend Royal Oaks, legal expert, has to say about what may potentially happen to the case come October.
It takes five votes to reinstate a ban of this type to overcome an injunction, and thus the president may go into the fall with a distinct advantage on this case.
So he's saying, hey, look, this gives the president a bit of an advantage heading in. And who knows what can happen between now and, say, October. I'm sure a lot is going to happen. There'll be many tweets. There'll be many, 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 many nights of people talking about dossiers from Russia and all kinds of crazy stuff and obstruction of justice and who knows what. But until October, this is what we got. If you can be objective for just one second, you can stand there and say, I don't have a partisan hat on. I'm not right. I'm not left. I'm not pro people coming here from war-torn nations with zero government. I'm not anti-Islamic people. I am just wide open with a thought process of just feed me some facts. Let me think for myself. We're a nation that says what? You know, we want you to come here. That was the whole thing back in the day. Your huddled masses, right? Give us your poor. We've changed. But we're still a nation that we think, in truth, has a bit of moral authority over a lot of the world. And we'd like to be welcoming. But at the same time, we have to be honest about ourselves. We all want to swim in the ocean, but off the coast of Cape Cod, they say there's 150 great white sharks. You got to be smart and say, maybe not right now. Maybe not this second. Maybe this isn't the best thing to do at this moment in time. There may be a better way to do some things. So instead of swimming at the beach, you may have to swim at the pool. For safety's sake. Doesn't mean stuff can't happen in the pool, right? You can still drown. But you know what's not going to happen at the pool? Being eaten. That's all. It's simple. New sheriff, new guy, new rules. This is what he wants to do. It's a constitutional right to do it when it comes to immigration and the safety of the people to get in here. They've used his words against him. The ninth, very liberal. The fourth, not very liberal, somewhat conservative compared to the ninth, very conservative. But still, this is the opportunity he's going to have in October to present their case and why they think they should do this. And remember, a lot can happen between now and then. And that includes an attack. People say, well, they're going to look at the law just as the law. No, human beings are always influenced on stuff. Don't say that human beings aren't. That's the thing that's crazy. People say, well, no, they're just going to look at it straight. Please. They're influenced by what? Their political thinkings, aren't they? These are the Supreme Court justices. There's a reason there's a fight there all the time on what side of the aisle that you can tip the scales of that justice to the right or to the left. What's not to say that they couldn't be influenced if there was a horrible attack? They're human beings. It is what it is at this moment in time. This is what we have. People are going to be angry. People are going to whine. People are going to bitch. People are going to moan. But the truth is the truth. Here's some more from our good friend and yours, Mr. Williams.
It will begin to enforce the 90-day travel ban against everybody else. That's probably less than, considerably less than half the people who wanted to get visas.
Yeah. It's less than half. But it'll be made out to be this massive thing. And then people roll out, right? People come out of the woodwork and they start talking about, oh my God, let me tell you how horrible it is. It's you don't even understand. This is going against everything and then some. This is hurting people across the board. This is separating people.
I work closely with the communities that didn't have their families broken apart from our past Muslim bans. We are really disappointed.
Of course you are, because you didn't get what you wanted. If you get what you wanted, which is everything that you want, then you're not disappointed. This is the compromise that the court decided to go with, and they put it into effect. Slow your roll. It's not going to destroy you. We'll find out what happens in October. And can I say this? This right now is a perfect example of what's going to be taking place for the foreseeable future in the political world that we live in, which is everything that you don't like, whether the voters voted on it or whatever it is, it's going to be challenged in a court of law that will work its way through the system and eventually land at the feet of our Supreme Court justices, who, dare I say, are probably just a smidge more powerful at this moment in time. And that's sad. That's frustrating to you and I, the common citizen. And I've seen it with votes, right? I've seen it with a lot of things, and we get frustrated. Because it works its way up, and that's what everybody ends up doing now. I didn't get what I wanted. I'm taking my ball and I'm moving somewhere else and I'm going to get the game that I want or I'm just not going to play anymore. And that's frustrating. Big time. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chatbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. We have an opioid story that we're going to do here in a little bit, and it is eye-opening. And you're going to hear a lot about it when it comes to what's going on in across the country, but this is crazy because it ties in also with Obamacare. And what people are going to start talking about with the new health care. We're going to touch on that. And we're also going to touch on legacy of this president and what he may get that will cement his legacy sooner rather than later. Chad Benson Show.
Why get oily, greasy takeout when you can have fresh Chad 24/7? Free of charge at ChadBensonShow.com. Click on Chad's podcast and enjoy freshly canned Chad. Catch the Chad Benson Show on iTunes, too, and nibble to your heart's content.
A baker who argued that violated his First Amendment freedom of expression because he argues he's an artist and that his cakes are a work of art and he's forced to create a message that he doesn't agree with.
Artiste. They're going to hear that case, Supreme Court. Why is that a big deal? The overall scheme of things, it's not. Not at this moment in time. We'll see where it goes. That's his big thing. He said, look, I'm an artist, and I don't believe in same-sex marriage, and this is my art, and you shouldn't be allowed to impede upon my art with your belief system, your lifestyle, whatever they want to say, right? You know, I mean, that's going to be the fight that's there. But a fight that could be coming that's bigger is a lot of people are waiting. Was Justice Kennedy going to announce his retirement? If Trump does nothing else but gets a second judge on the Supreme Court, his legacy is cemented. Because how that will potentially change the course of a lot of things is going to be huge. Now, Kennedy hasn't said anything. He's 80 years old. I believe he turns 81 later on this year. He held a party, as he does every year, with all of his old clerks, many of which are already big judges themselves. I believe Gorsuch is one of his clerks, who is now Supreme Court Justice himself, the newest of the group, and they get together and they talk and they reminisce about old times and they talk about stuff, and a lot of them are speculating that he is going to step away. Kennedy's gonna say, you know what, I'm done, I'm out, I'm 80, I want to spend time with my grandkids, I want to hang out with with my family, I've worked hard, I've worked long. Now, he's been a surprise for the left and at times has pissed off the right. Reagan brought you what have you done? I always thought he kind of looks at the law better than all of them because he's not afraid to rule against them. If he, it doesn't seem to have the partisanship that they do. But it's what matters is that partisanship now. Now, like I said with the Republicans, if they would have lost this and they would have had a chance to tilt the court even more, there is no constitutional, there's nothing in the Constitution that says you have to have 9, you could have 11, you could have 12, you could have 1, you can have as many as you want or as little as you want. There's nothing in the Constitution. So the Democrats, even if they were to get another justice put in their, in their face, and it's definitely going to be somebody who is going to be to the right, far more conservative, I'm sure, than Gorsuch, people start to worry. What if? Here comes Roe v. Wade. What about this? What about that? And this is where the states are going to take up a challenge. I think federally, I don't think you're going to see anything change, but I think the states, state by state by state by state by state, are going to challenge certain things. Like I said, his legacy would be cemented if Kennedy was to take a step down, and next could potentially be Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if Kennedy's going to step down. I think Kennedy, though, is thinking about it more so, and the noise is loud. A lot of people thought it was going to happen today. A lot of people thought he was going to make an announcement today to step away. Now, Sandra Day O'Connor did it, I think, two or three days after, you know, the last session that she worked in, and she came out and said, yeah, I'm done. So he could do it tomorrow. He could do it in a week. He may do it in a year. He may do it in five. I don't know. But the rumblings are that this is happening. And he may have wanted to do it if it was Hillary, but he may say, I don't know if I trust Trump. But we're going to find out, I think, sooner rather than later. I think you're going to get a surprise. Here's something else. He's 80, going to be 81. I believe that Ruth Bader Ginsburg's in her 80s as well. The potential for them not stepping down. Remember, you know, Antonin Scalia died. Didn't step down, died. So you never know, right? You never, ever know. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chatbensonshow.com. So if you're an older dad like myself, I don't think I'm old, but I'm definitely an older dad. I was 40 when Jack appeared. Apparently, if you're an older dad, the chances of you having a geek for a son is greater. And I'm fine with that. That's right. They looked at older dads and they said, if you are in your essentially 35 plus, the chances of you having a geek for a child grows. And my son, I love Jack, but he's kind of a geek and I love it that way. I like it. I like it that he's kind of got some nerd tendencies. I love that he likes electronics. I love that he's forward thinking and that kind of stuff. I love that he's got those kind of, STEM, that math. He's in those kind of schools and he loves that stuff. To me, I think it's great. But they're pointing out the fact that older dads tend to give way to more geeky children. And I think that's awesome. I do. I hope that Jack continues on the path of a bit of a geekiness because geeks are ruling the world. Just want you to know that. Geeks rule the world. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chatbensonshow.com. So the opioid epidemic is ridiculous. Man, I saw some reports this week on just how bad it is in Ohio, and it's just now getting to Cleveland. And it's only going to get worse. Well, guess what? Some of the people out there are profiting obscene amounts of money. Where do you hear this? And some of the things they're doing, it makes you scratch your head. And again, this is through Obamacare. Sometimes in life, you try to do some right things, and out of those things come people who look and jump at an opportunity to make profit. And in a situation where you're dealing with drug addiction and health, it's disgusting. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Well, CNN is finally talking about Russia. Been a while, right? There's been other stuff going on, but really they've stayed away from it all day. And they're getting accused even by people in the mainstream media of pushing the story a little too hard and being too anxious to try to catch something here. And Trump tweeted today, people are like, well, finally he's admitting that there was some sort of meddling going on. You know, maybe there was, maybe there wasn't, is kind of, you know, the way that they played it. But, you know, it could have been from other people as well. Could have been meddling from a lot of people. But he did pose a very real question on his little tweet storm that he goes on sometimes in the morning. Is essentially, paraphrasing here in the tweet world, if Obama knew all this was going on, why didn't he do anything? It's curious, right? It's a very fair question to ask. If you knew stuff was going on, if you knew they were meddling, if you knew that they were hacking and doing things, and you got the reports that say so, why did you do nothing? Because you thought you had it in the bag. You thought you had it in the bag, so you felt like, eh, I don't have to do anything. Well, there you go. You got what you got. But you were the president, and it was going on your watch. Why didn't you do anything? You had every right to. Right? They talked about you could have hacked back. You could have put on very, very big sanctions. They talked about that could have crippled their economy. You could have done several things, and in the end, you chose to do nothing. Can't blame that on Trump. That's on you. The opioid epidemic is terrifying. Yeah, I was watching this thing. I was on MSNBC. They were doing a special about it in Ohio. And they were showing the fentanyl, how it gets here. It goes from China through to Mexico. Then they smuggle it in here. And it is so much more dangerous than the just straight opioids themselves. And it just a drop is deadly. And you hear stories about people who get it on themselves and, you know, they potentially die or they do die. And it is that frightening how just how lethal it is. It is. And you hear stories about this opioid epidemic and how it's growing. But what you don't hear is how are people combating it? Well, in Florida, they're taking it on in a much different way. And it has nothing to do with the people who have an addiction and all to do with how easy it is in this world to make money off of these people.
24-year-old Allison Flory died in the very place she was supposed to be getting help for her addiction. She'd come here for drug treatment at a facility called Reflections. Allison had gotten caught up in the Florida shuffle, a criminal scheme born of the opioid crisis. It's making some people very rich and putting others at risk.
It's crazy when you start to hear some more of this and how this unfolds. But this is a crisis. And here's the thing. Crack was a crisis in the inner city. Poor people, blacks, nobody cared. Be honest. Nobody cared. Cocaine was the white people's disease and the party drug. Crack, inner city, poor, nobody cared. They died. Deh, nobody cares. Move on with our lives. But I've said, when it hits suburbia, when it hits the, and then this is true, when it hits the point where it touches white kids and white people in suburbia, people will pay attention a lot more. And they are. But the money that people are making off this and the way that they're seducing people to get them to come out to these places that are no more than just, hey, it's a bunk and a place to hang out. Don't do drugs.
Well, the facilities down there that we heard about were very good.
It was beautiful.
It is beautiful, and it seemed like a good fit for her.
And you felt at this time hopeful?
I felt hopeful more than I'd ever felt ever.
The rehab center provided a free plane ticket, and Allison was off to South Florida.
So they give him a free plane ticket. Why do they give him a free plane ticket? Isn't that expensive? Not with the kind of money that they're making. It's crazy. And many of you out there probably know somebody who's had problems with drugs or alcohol and maybe fentanyl or maybe the opioids, some sort of addiction. And you know how nasty it can be. And these things are money makers. I mean, you know, one of the commercials I always see, and I don't want to point fingers, but, you know, you're about like, we're here in Palm Springs. We are right here at the first, probably the one of the first clinics in the world, which is the Betty Ford Clinic. And you've got places like Passages from, you know, Malibu and all these things. And they cost upwards of God knows how much, $50,000 a month. A month. It's money making. Human beings will always find a way to be addicted to something. They'll always find a way to escape their problems or to think that they're going to have fun and to think that they can get control of something while they're having that fun. And along the way, bad things start to happen. People start to die.
In the last 4 years, the number of overdoses here has quadrupled as the treatment industry has exploded. More than 4,600 overdoses in Palm Beach County alone last year. We rode along with Delray Beach Fire and Rescue.
We can run 12, upwards of 12 in a day.
12 in a day?
It's crazy about that. And this is something that's completely nuts, is They were showing that, and I watched this thing in Ohio. They're having to build special rooms because of the dead bodies from people overdosing. They're having to build special rooms in some of the coroner's offices because there are so many people overdosing. What was once 5% is now 60% of their dead bodies and growing. That's an epidemic. When you're seeing areas where they would have 100 people who overdosed in a year, now they're up to 2,000 and growing. It's crazy. But know this, there is a need to fix somebody or something. Somebody will figure out a way to profit off of it. And I'm fine with that. If you give people the service, but you'll always find scumbags out there who don't care about any of those things. What they care about is the dollar bills, and there is no way to have any oversight in any of these situations because there's no licensing. There's none of those things that are needed to set up these houses, and the money is ridiculous.
Instead of checking into a rehab, down here, most addicts live together in residential neighborhoods in houses like this one called Sober Homes. There are four just on this block and thousands in South Florida. Treatment happens at outpatient facilities. It was supposed to make recovery cheaper and better, but the system ended up being corrupted.
Cheaper and better. Put a bunch of people together. Put a bunch of addicts together with little supervision. There's no oversight on what you can charge them. You have a few people that work there. And usually the person that's kind of running the place is usually an addict themselves. And then you start to add on the dollar bills, yo.
Jennifer says Allison tried to tell her as much before she died.
She would call and say, they don't care about us. All they care about is money. I'm like, that is ridiculous.
Of course not. I mean, you believe that people who are running rehab facilities, sober homes, are going to help get her sober.
Right. She didn't even know the half of it.
Yeah, you don't even know the half of it. And Florida, this is a nightmare in Florida. And it's coming to states near you. It is. And I'm okay with people making money. I got no problems with that. I am okay with people profiting and making money to help other people because we all have to earn a living. And if you can bring somebody a product that is good and you can help people along the way get off or kick this, and knowing full well that you're going up against the wall here, right? You're going up against something that is highly addictive, and your rates of recidivism when it comes to people falling off the wagon are going to be high. But you can give them at least something real. I've got zero problems with it, within reason. Because you see, how much does it cost to put somebody in an average house in suburbia and then you don't really have doctors, but you're charging them how much?
$2,000, almost $10,000 in lab fees for one date of service.
Many of the charges are for care she doesn't think Allison ever really got. The total for 15 months, over $1 million.
And remember, there's no oversight. It's too hard. 15 months, $1 million. That's insane. That is absolutely nuts. It was like 60 grand a month. Do you think she got 60 grand a month worth of care? It's no different than hospitals. Hospitals do the same thing. But at least there's some little bit of oversight, right? Little bit, not much. Okay, maybe too much. At least there is some accountability. There are no licenses. All you have to do is open up your door saying, I'm setting up a sober house. You find one or two people that can help you with this. You then start running ads and you start getting people to come here. And they talked about how they would send other addicts to NA meetings and meetings where people are addicted and find out if they have insurance. And if you've got insurance, hey, I'll give you $500 if you can get this person to come to my place. A retainer, a finder's fee. Think about that. Go find other addicts. Bring them here. I'll give you an addict a finder's fee. Here's some hot cash in your hands, run and go with it. How about this? Let's see. What do you think costs to pee in a cup?
Are you sick or something? They've done a ton of labs on you. I said, I have a bill here for $10,600.
For one lab?
Yeah. Yes, one. And she goes, Mom, I've, and this was her words, I've peed in a cup twice this week.
Yeah. That's a lot of money for peeing in a cup. Where did it even go? They probably flushed it. They don't care. They don't. It's about getting the bodies there and then charging the insurance. Get the kickbacks, make the money, pay a little bit for your staff, and pocket it all as much as possible.
State Attorney Ehrenberg says it's all part of a massive kickback scheme, and those outrageous lab bills are typical.
There's gold in that urine, and so the labs will compete to get the urine sent to them. They make a lot of money billing insurance, and so they will kick back some of the money to the outpatient facility or the sober home, whoever gets them. The patient referral. It's a total scam.
So everybody's making money. So the lab place that's just, hey, you know what? They're doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? Well, they know they can charge you $2,000 or $3,000 or $1,500 for this for what? A quick drug test? So they're willing to kick back to you. You're already billing insurance companies so much money. But where's all that money coming from? Well, you're going to hear with the new AHCA or Trump Care, Ryan Care, whatever it is, that there is going to be a cut in the amount of money spent on rehabs. What you don't hear is how Obamacare was set up.
The Affordable Care Act, which makes payment for addiction treatment virtually unlimited. It's supposed to improve recovery, but criminals here see an unlimited pot of money to exploit.
That's it. You've got an unlimited amount of money. If government tells you, you can take as much as you want, and we've got no way to have any oversight, then we'll go ahead and do it. And it's hard to say they're criminals when they're not doing anything other than over, you know, charging what they think is a fair price in their mind, knowing full well they're ripping people off, which takes away from the real places out there who are doing their best to try to help people improve. But if you tell people, you can charge what you want. There's no way we have any oversight. We can't manage it all. We'll just have to pay it out. What do you think people are going to do? Charge the hell out of it. What do you think is going to happen? Your insurance rates are going to go up, 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 up. There's got to be some limits every once in a while, people. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. Text us 323-538-2423. Like us on Facebook, Chad Benson Show. Wrap it up straight ahead.
Serving up talk radio medium rare and dripping with irony, it's Chad Benson.
That's me, kids. A lot of people texting in about the opioid story that we did about how these people are making money hands over fist and using the unlimited resources of Obamacare. And I'm not going to blame Obamacare because people, that's on them. You know, if you see something and you have a way to go and take as much as you want until somebody stops you, that's what's going to happen. And there's no oversight, and there's not going to be any oversight. It's going to be because there's no way you can. There isn't. There isn't any way you can. Some states have some oversight and some protections, but I think just about anybody in most places can set up, their own thing. And, hey, I'm a drug counselor. Let me show you how you get off this. It's bad. Ooh. But what do you do? And you're going to hear as we move forward in this debate when it comes to healthcare of what's going to happen with the opioid epidemic and money for people with addiction and rehab. Absolutely. Hey, couples who argue are happier. No way. Yep. According to a new study, people who argue, and there's a difference between more of a bickering than a real argument, tend to have more, apparently, some sort of respect for each other. But let's remember, there's a difference between arguing bickering, getting to an argument with your spouse over something real is a good thing. It means you're communicating. And I think that's a big thing. If you can communicate with somebody, if you can let them know your feelings, that's a big thing. There's one thing, people who argue 24/7 about everything, and they just don't like anything about you. So you could say it's a beautiful day today, and it may very well be, but that person's going to say, it's disgusting, I hate you, I hate your face. Well, that's doomed. But people who argue over things that are both real, sometimes large and sometimes small, shows that they have lines of communication. And they say it's good to have a healthy argument with your spouse. Shows respect. And I think that's a healthy thing. Solid fun show today, as always, kids. We do it. We do it in 3D Technicolor. You can also check us out in black and white where available. Grab your podcast, iTunes. Go to ChadBensonShow.com. Grab it there. Beware, though, it costs absolutely nothing. That's free to you and me. Unlike, and if Obamacare was going to, look, let me tell you something. If Obamacare told me I could charge my iTunes and everybody got to take it, and I'd charge the hell out of it. Who wouldn't, right? You follow us along all social medias at Chad Benson Show. Like us on the old Facebook, Chad Benson Show. Check out ChadBensonShow.com, where you can also email us the old-fashioned way. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com and text us 24/7, 365, 323-538-2423. We got you through the Monday. Oh, but let me tell you something. Tostada Tuesday is going to be delicious. For Anthony, for Phil, my name's Chad Benson. As always, I bid you adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.